All right, what's good, Portland? The time is 7 p.m. It is Wednesday night here in Portland, Oregon, and you're tuning to another episode, episode 11 of Combined Culture Radio. Today's a special episode. We want to give a big shout out to the team that's usually here holding it down. They're out of town today. Shout out to Tevin, Anthony, Jalen, Michaela. I got a special crew with me here today to make this episode special. Dr. Trilla, you're back in the building. Say what's up to the people.
What's good? What's good? What's good?
Gerald Seals, glad you're here, man.
How y'all doing today, Portland?
Here we go. And the illustrious, most certainly but not least, Buku's in the building. Say what's up to the people.
Hey, y'all.
Lots going on in today's episode, man. Combined Culture Radio. Every time the youngins come in town, we try to shut it down. Lots to talk about in the culture, music, sports, lots of stuff going on, as well as some interesting topics. Having Buku on the show is a blessing here today. We want to get to know her and her story, to talk about some really awesome stuff in the youth today. So, man, before anything here on Combined Culture Radio, you know, we like to get into a mix, enjoy some music. So let's get into that. We'll get back to you real soon.
Every day, shit. Shut the fuck off up, I don't want your conversation. Rolling marijuana, that's a cheap vacation. My everyday shit, every night shit, every day shit.
Every night.
All my life, been ready for you all my life. Been waiting on you all my life.
She see money all around me, I look like I'm the man. Yeah, but I was clowning out like last week. Tell me, where have you been?
Yeah, you came out of hiding, girl. Don't act like I'm your man.
just a fan. You don't hold rain. No, 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 no. Don't hold no rain. Yeah.
Really, really good with a sick mouth and a slick flow. Catch up around me, nigga, ain't a plan. When I'm coming for the kitty, got my full gun. Do it for my niggas in the ghost right there. Do it for my niggas in the ghost right now. Niggas got killed for the boy, living dreams in the hills, and they watching for the boy right now. God, what a time, what a year. We are what them young boys feel. I kill, never be killed. That's real, no lie. You can tell that from my peers right now. Don't you wanna f me now? Don't you wanna love me down? Girl, you can't tie me down like Ray J said, but no, I'm down. Freaky nigga, show me something. Shake it like you owe me something. Pushing on the like a button. More time, fifth time, you. Still getting rowdy in the function. Talk my like it's nothing. Everywhere I go now,
jumping. Hey, nice to meet.
I love that song, man. That's such a banger. That's Gold Link, Shy Glizzy crew, man. That's such a slapper. Shout out to the boy Teddy Walton too, that produced that track. How you guys feel about that song?
I got one of the hardest beats out right now.
Oh my gosh, I watched the Rap Genius video. You guys seen their content on YouTube? They have really good content, and it basically talked about how he took and destructed this beat and put some soul into it and bass. It was amazing. Shout out Teddy Walton, Gold Link. Yeah, so let's get into it, straight into it. Lots going on today. You know, we like to touch on everything straight off top. I myself am not on social. When it comes to social, Gerald is the man. Gerald, what's going on in social? What's going on?
This last week, we had a lot going on in social. Most recently, probably the Me Too hashtag we have going on. I don't know if anybody at the table was able to check that out.
No, I didn't. When did you see that?
No. So the Me Too hashtag were just a bunch of women sharing their stories about sexual assault and everything, and if they didn't have a story, they just hashtag Me Too, like just talking about what they've been through. Buku, were you able to see anything on it?
Yeah, I definitely saw. I think it was like Complex that picked it up, and they were talking about it. I'm also not really on social right now, but I did see
something. It's good to get a break, you know.
Honestly, right? Like sometimes you just need to detox that.
Too much going on.
100%.
Yeah, but if you weren't able to check that out, I definitely suggest just seeing the Me Too hashtag so you can see what's going on and like help make a difference, because sexual assault is something that is a huge problem in this world, and not a lot of people recognize it.
Oh, most definitely. Big ups and shout out to all the women that are doing that Me Too hashtag. If you're sleeping on that, make sure you check that out. Joe, you're completely right. You know, especially on a college campus, you know, we're college students. We understand that the fight against sexual assault is one that we're really passionate about. So making sure to stand up against that. Another news, what's been going on? Lots of sports stuff going on. NFL past weekend. NBA started last night. Did anybody see that injury? My guy, Gordon Hayward. I
turned away. I ain't about that life.
That was rough. Condolences and prayers with him. That was 100%. That was tough. Baseball, we got a dude from Cleveland at the table, and we got a dude from New York at the table. So you know,
spreading the news.
So you know, big playoffs for me when it comes to baseball is always real exciting. My Cleveland friend Dwayne, how you feeling, man? You okay?
Me, I'm always confident in Cleveland.
Not well, so no, it's much. Over. You guys lost. You guys lost.
Confident in Cleveland.
Confident?
And I mean,
we can't be confident.
I mean, no, that's fine.
I mean, I'm a Browns fan, so I'm still confident about
you
know, that.
Yeah, you like have that. No reason to be confident at all.
Okay. Gerald, congratulations. New York, moving on. You guys actually won tonight.
Up yeah, 3-2 in a row versus the Astros. So okay. You already know. Shout out to Lowe in Houston.
Yeah, no, Lowe, if you're listening, Houston, it's tough.
We're going to have to spread the news there and just finish the series. And then we want the Dodgers, baby.
Hey, don't be talking about big up to whole West Coast. LA, we're in the building. Hey, Dodgers, this is the finally our year. I need to check. What's the score right now? We're in Chicago trying to clinch right now, game four. We'll check that out, get that back to you guys. But yeah, lots going on in the sports world, man. Lots social. Music, too. Some new projects dropping. Dwayne, you said you were going to touch on some of that stuff. What's been popping? What's going on, man?
Yeah. Lately that just dropped is that Mr. Davis, that Gucci album, and I'm feeling that a lot. My favorite track on there personally is Stunt Ain't Nothing to Me, and that's featuring Slim Jimmy and Young Dolph. Anybody know me that knows me knows that Ray Sherman is kind of like my spirit animal, you know, carefree.
Ray Sherman is very lit. Very lit.
Carefree black boy, you know.
Very lit.
Other than that, A Boogie with a Hoodie dropped his joint. He had a few.
From New York, no?
Yeah.
No. He had a few good tracks on there that I was messing with.
That
I
whole
like that.
Thing was fire.
I like that. I like the Undefeated with 21. I was liking the Drowning and the Say A lot of people were saying it had that bubblegum trap music feel, which I feel like, I mean, if you want to call it, if that's what you want to call the genre, that's what it is. But I mean, it's good music. I like the sound. It's unique. It's different. It's fun.
Yeah, that bubblegum trap music, that that reminded me of what Joe Budden was talking about coming at Chance. Y'all see
yeah,
that?
Yeah, did you see that? So that was big. So that's big. You know, we like to touch on culture every time we're here because, you know, we feel the youth are at the forefront of the culture, right? And Joe Budden had some controversial stuff to say about Chance the Rapper. He basically said, you know, Chance, being from Chicago, he needs to pick up his bars in the sense that he needs to be a real rapper. And Chance's response to it, if you guys didn't get to see it, was basically like, you know, bro, I am the culture, right? Mm-hmm. So like the way I move and the way that I do that, I'm doing these real things, you know, for these real people in Chicago and ultimately the youth, right? He's out here. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think Chance is the culture? Can he say that? Or, you know, who
I
he's
agree
not,
with Chance
who?
Like, not everybody from Chicago gonna be Chief Keef with the drill music out here. Like, somebody gotta be happy.
And like, I just want to know, like, what defines a real rapper? Like, what does that actually mean? You know,
I don't feel like you have to be rapping about like crime and drugs and women and stuff like that to define rap. Like, people rap to express their realities. Like, everybody's reality is not the same, so you have to let the artist, you know, paint their picture. You can't go in and just, you know, try to Joe Budden somebody's Picasso. It's a Picasso for a reason.
No, definitely. Yeah, that's why the statement was so confusing to me, is because I wasn't sure if he was talking about, you know, music and like pertaining to Chance's rapping skills, which is not up for debate either, because Chance got bars. But ultimately, to say that Chance isn't the culture, Chance is like I said, we're talking about somebody that is doing something for public schools in Chicago, making strides that the government isn't doing. How can we say somebody like Chance isn't the culture? Especially not the forefront, right? Besides having a hot tape, being on a Kit Kat commercial, Chance is lit. You know, baby girl, he just
Joe
fatherhood,
just
right? You know, and he's about to be a father. So you know what? Maybe, you know, that's what they say. I wouldn't know personally, but they say, you know, have especially, I think it's a daughter too. They weaken you. That's one of my worst fears. That's happened. You know, softens you up off top. So,
and Joe Budden gonna have to play "I Love You So Much" by DJ Khaled and Chance anyway when he have a daughter.
There you go, right? And guess who's on that track? Chance the Rapper, therefore he is the culture. Moving along with the culture, we want to talk about brands today, just because you know, in today's discussion, as we continue to talk about this culture, we're talking about these people that are at these forefronts, you know, these artists, these athletes, the Odell Beckhams, right, all these young guys, the Uzis. But are the brands that they attach to just as important as their role in the culture? You know, do brands matter? I guess that's basically what I'm asking. You know, what do you guys think?
I would definitely say brands matter, because the point of a brand is to invite consumers to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Like, you want to be, people wear Adidas to be like, okay, like, you know, I'm a part of that tribe, or like Nike to be like, I'm a part of that tribe. So definitely when you see a rapper, an athlete, or anybody famous for that matter supporting it, that you look up to, that you idolize, you automatically want to, you know, be a part of that tribe. You want to wear Adidas, you want to wear the Nike, you want to do whatever that you see the people you look up to doing. So definitely I say that makes a big impact.
Definitely.
You know, I think that brands are honestly the new, like, music labels, right? You see artists.
That's a big statement. You think about that for a second? Now, you got to say that again one more time for the listeners. One more time, say that again.
I think that brands are the new music labels. I mean, look at the way we listen to music these days. You know, do you think about, you know, Epic Records, or do you think about Apple Music? Mm-hmm. Do you think about, you know, Def Jam, or do you think about Tidal? You know, and our Spotify. And I honestly believe that, you know, artists are striving to be more a part of brands, and brands are literally clamoring, like breaking down the doors to artists to try and get a hold of them. And I honestly think that's because you're seeing the lines between entertainment and fashion being blurred all, like, every day, right? You can't talk about, you know, Kanye West without talking about Yeezy. You can't talk about Pharrell without talking about Adidas. You can't talk about, you know, whoever,
Virgil,
yeah. You know what
Gerald
I'm saying?
Merch.
Hey, I love that plug. But you know, you're seeing those lines being blurred every day, and that's because, like, on the brand side, you know that, like, having a Chance the Rapper or having a Kanye or having a Virgil is gonna amplify your go-to-market strategy. It's gonna amplify that product, that, you know, that shoe, that apparel, and it's all, like, ultimately gonna amplify your sales. And then as an artist, brand, I meant, you know, music labels aren't giving you that creative freedom and expression that you're looking for.
Definitely.
But a brand will. A brand will allow you to put what you're actually trying to put into a you know, a like a song mm-hmm. into a product. Like, we're gonna allow you to have like free range, where like an Epic or like a Def Jam or a Sony is not gonna give you that.
Definitely.
You know, so I think like you're really seeing that.
That's heavy what she just gave there. You know, she didn't even give me a chance to hold her back and introduce who she was and why she's so knowledgeable on all these things. She didn't want to play any games tonight. But no, that's facts.
You know,
that's exactly that's exactly what she's talking about. And I'm just picturing, you know, growing up, you know, in the early 2000s, there was this role, like, okay, there was the athletes, it was the artists, right? It was the fashion world, it was, you know, it was all its defined thing, you can have a role in it. And they talked about how they envied each other. Now you can't separate one from the other. I mean, we're in Portland, you're looking at a guy like Damian Lillard that does it all.
Right.
So I mean, like, you know, that has tracks out. That is the number one athlete in the city. Mm-hmm. That is also a big part of Adidas and the brand that they promote. So definitely possible. I'm just trying to think. Basically, what's the goal here though for brands ultimately? Is it to actually reach the culture, or is it just at this point becoming of who's riding the wave the most of the time? Like, is it just who's relevant? Or are we really trying to find ways to, you know, tap into these to the youth and ultimately make something, you know, of this?
I just think it depends on what that brand defines culture. You know, like for some brands, it's riding that wave. And then for other brands, it's touching the youth. You know, like if I am X brand, I'm not going to put a brand to it. But if I'm X brand and I believe that riding the wave is AKA the culture, then I'm going to do whatever I can to ride the wave. But if I'm X brand and I believe that, you know, culture is touching the youth, I'm going to do whatever I can to touch the youth. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it all drives back to culture. I just think it all depends on what you define culture is, and then your intention behind, you know, whatever strategy that you're putting out.
Definitely. That's real. That's heavy. The biggest thing that I think I've noticed too with the culture is that the ways that they've been finding ways to implement different forms of the media, right? So that's not just through social, that's through actively activating, you know, in cities and finding a way to take over. More evident than anything is ComplexCon coming up. Gerald, I know you're gonna be there.
Yeah. So
what are you looking forward to with that?
ComplexCon is just basically the social media outlet, I should say. Complex just takes over Long Beach, California. So I'm looking forward to everything. I know Virgil's in charge basically, so I want
to see. What would you describe ComplexCon as to somebody that never heard it before, being, you know, from Portland?
It is a festival of culture basically. There's everything there. So they have like the best food vendors from the country, the best streetwear clothing brands, music. I went last year. Who didn't I see? I got to see basically all of Dipset, got to hang out with the ASAP Mob, Wiz Khalifa, Yes Jewels, like everybody.
That's dope. That's awesome.
So just being there in itself is a great experience, but I'm definitely looking forward to see what Virgil's gonna do. I know our friends at Adidas are gonna probably go crazy with it. Last year Nike went crazy with the Air Forces, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it all.
Yeah, me and Gerald were both there last year. Nike definitely put on. So yeah, I'll be excited to see, you know, what brands come step up to the table. Are you gonna be there? You have to check it out.
You know
it's always nice, you know, just take that nice still they say like an hour and 57 minute flight down. You know, the weather is usually what, somewhere between 27 and 30 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
Right,
you know,
but we've been lucky. We've had some good past couple of days here in Oregon. It's been nice weather wise.
Yeah,
got some sun today.
It. Yeah, what?
Got my melanin back.
Just
popping.
Just a little bit.
We'll always take what we can get. But yeah, like I said, you know, here on Combined Culture Radio, we're very, very blessed and we're thankful to have Buku on the show here with us today. You are a special guest. We want to allow the viewers to get to know you a little bit. What can you tell us about yourself, where you're from, your story, why you're so knowledgeable on this culture thing? You know, what is it that you...
Buku is the culture.
She is the culture.
We are all the culture.
Tell Joe Budden. Tell Joe Budden to chill off Buku, okay? She's good.
Chill on him.
We're good. Yeah, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Buku. My government is Ibuku. So I'm Nigerian, and my parents are from Nigeria. I was born in London. It's like a crazy story, but I was born
you
in
London. You done know. Yeah, hey, for all the listeners, yeah, you know, I have to plug, I always have to plug the beautiful country of the United Kingdom.
Yes. Great
Britain, love London. Continue, I'm sorry.
No, you're all good. But yeah, I was born in London, and I was primarily raised in Los Angeles, California. And yeah, so I'm 23, newly 23, turned 23 in September.
Happy belated.
Thank you. And I went to school in Miami University of Ohio, and people will ask me, like, why would you go all the
not
way?
Not Florida, not my, not Florida. Not Paul Gables.
See, like, when I would tell my friends back in high school, yeah, like, yeah, I'm going to Miami University, they were like, oh, like, oh, the what? Beach.
Yes, and I can't wait to come see you.
Yeah, nah. Like, actually, I'm be in Ohio, in the snow, all of that.
Shout out to Ohio.
I was going to say, where's
We got it out.
How do you say Ohio? What's your name?
Ohio.
Ohio.
Excuse me.
All right, yeah. Continue on. You're good.
So back to me. Yes, I went to Miami University of Ohio. I studied integrated marketing with a double minor in digital media and entrepreneurship. After college, I accepted a full-time 6-month internship with Adidas in women's global brand marketing. And then from there, God led me to be an assistant project manager for Yeezy, which is my current role. So
casual. Wait, hold up. Can we get the
no. Reverse. Yeah. Collaboration,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah, right. For the listeners in the back, we'll give everybody a second to turn the radio for a second. Go ahead and say that again from my Miami, Ohio transition.
So from my transition into the brand, from, you know, being a 10-month global brand marketing intern for women's, I transitioned into my current role, which is assistant project manager for special collaborations.
On a special team.
Special forces. That's what we like to call ourselves.
There you go.
But yeah, I focus on product marketing and also concept to consumer marketing. So it's like distribution strategy. Like, how does the product get to you guys?
And that's awesome. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's honestly, ultimately, you know, what these brands are trying to figure out, right? Is like, you know, how do we get into the heads of, you know, not only just the youth, but obviously the culture itself resonating in different parts of the country and truly all over the world. You know, you're talking about, you've been literally born and raised yeah, all over the world, and taking that and making it to who you are today. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What would you say the biggest thing that you take, like, from the day-to-day with your role today, you know, now at Adidas, like, what are you being involved and finding yourself? Is it mostly content-based, or are you, you know, consumer-based? What are you looking at?
I think it, you know, it steers more to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And I've always, you know, said that I'm truly a creative, but I think that what will make me better as a creative is, you know, coupling that with strategy. And in this role, I'm really able to understand the consumer, understand the strategy behind getting to the consumer. Like, we always talk about consumer, but the consumer is so dynamic, right? Like, what is that strategy? What's that go-to-market strategy that we're gonna really hit on so that we're able to, you know, speak to that consumer, approach that consumer in a way that's effective and efficient. So, you know, in this role, I'm really understanding what it means to be a strategic based, you know, problem solver and, you know, creative at the end of the day.
And in the midst of this, with all that you got on, you managed to be involved in numerous things outside of that, including having her own scholarship.
Sheesh.
You know, because that's casual. Talk about that, you know, because, yeah, you know, it was what's so great and what you know, we all admire about you is that, you know, you're tied to so many outside things aside from, you know, you're just your main profession, yeah, and you're passionate about really what's going on, yeah, in the world and different facets of it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I remember my sophomore years when I was really establishing my personal brand. I think that every single human being in here, like, has a personal brand, just the same way Adidas has a brand and Nike has a brand. Like, what is your unique value proposition? What is it that makes you stand out? And for me, it was my passion. And I remember I was sitting with my professor, who's now my mentor and one of, like, my, you know, best friends. And I was like, yeah, I just want to turn my passion into a career. I know many of you probably have heard of that. And he asked me, he was like, well, do you want your passion to be confined to a 9-to-5, or do you want it to be your life? You want it to be a lifestyle, something that you embody.
That's real.
And I was like, no, I want it to be my life. He's like, then you're turning your passion into a life. And, you know, so that's something that I've carried with me, you know, throughout my 4 years, or I guess like 3 years in college, because I figured that out sophomore year. And that transcended into like my everyday life. I, you know, carried a lot of different internships throughout my career. And, you know, all those internships were in different places. But the beauty of it is I was fortunate enough to afford the relocation. So I was in Ohio, but if I needed to go to New York, if I needed to go to San Francisco, even if I needed to go to London, like, my parents were able to afford me that relocation. It wasn't until my junior year going into my senior year when I was interning for Disney, and I had a coworker who I interned with, and she had to like take out a $10,000 loan in order to move from Texas to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And that's something that I was like, yo, like, why do you have to do that? Like, I didn't even realize that this was a burden. So it was last October, I was literally sitting in my bed and I was doing my devotion as usual, and God spoke to me. He was like, you need to give back. Like, you need to give back to the people who are struggling to take internships when they're in the Midwest and they're trying to get to the West Coast, or vice versa, like West Coast trying to get to East Coast. There are people who are struggling right now. Like, either they have to take out a loan, or they have to completely say, I can't take this internship because I can't afford it.
So, like, which is a shame. It should not have to be the case.
Yeah. It like really like stresses me out, the fact that people have to go through that. So I put aside $1,000 of my own money. I saved up, you know, shout out to Adidas for funding that on the low. yes.
So, insight here on Cable 90.7, My Culture Radio, right here. That's what we're talking about.
So yeah, I put aside $1,000 and I created an application, put it on my personal website, and I said, you know, if you're an undergraduate student, if you're a graduate student or a recent graduate and, you know, the past year, apply for this scholarship. If you've accepted a full-time summer internship, I want to help you turn your passion into a life, because that is my mission statement. I'm turning my passion into a life to inspire others to do the same. I want someone to look at me and say, yo, because Buku did this, I can. You know, I want to really like inspire people to live up to their fullest potential. And I believe that this scholarship helped me do this. So I did that. I awarded the
recipient. You found a winner, right? We picked the winner, right?
It's always a we.
Right?
A win for me is a win for us. Always remember that.
UGA, right?
You said what?
UGA, Georgia?
Yes.
You know, shout out to Athens.
Shout out to Kaylin Sanders. She's currently a senior at the University of Georgia studying communications and advertising.
Kaylin, we see you.
Yes.
All the way over here in Portland, girl. We see you.
I love you, girl. I actually spoke to her last week. But yeah, she interned at Droga 5 in New York City, an advertising agency. And she absolutely
got Tucker on the team. Yeah. Fine culture in the building.
Shout out to Tuck.
Nice.
Great creative.
So she's right now looking for a full-time position, but she's absolutely amazing. Her story was incredible. Like, I asked everyone to, you know, submit a video submission, 60 seconds or less, and she completely compelled and captured me. I love her.
I can't imagine the amount of qualified and, you know, how tough that's been. Yeah,
it was
that's
so
awesome.
Hard.
Yeah, big shout out to Kaylin, man. That's awesome. And then lastly, you know, I want to get to talk about, you know, obviously, you know, this person who you become and who you are today doesn't just happen overnight, right? You know, it's a process and it takes time. Talk about your family, you know, and specifically, you know, one individual in particular that has had shined your light on potentially some different things you're interested and passionate about too, and, you know, what that meant to you.
Yeah, so my dad, so I grew up in a African household, and it was very strict, it was very rigid, but it taught me a lot. And I'm very, very appreciative. Like, as a child, I was kind of like, what the heck am I going through? Like, all my other friends don't have to deal with this. Like, why am I dealing with this? Why are my parents putting so much pressure on me? I remember when I was studying for my SATs, and I was in our dining room, and my dad came up to me. He was like, Ibukun. I said, yes, daddy. He was like, you know, you don't have any inheritance. And I said, Dad, what you mean? Like, he was like, if I die, you don't have anything in the will. The only thing that you have is your education and what you decide to do with it. And I was like, yo. And I come from a pretty well-off family. Like, I'm very, very blessed, thank God. But he was literally told me, like, the only thing that I have is my education and what I decided
to do. So they got you to that point. Now it's upon yourself, right? I mean, yeah, that's love. Yeah. That's what family's for, you know, most definitely.
So, you know, my dad being, like, a psychiatrist, like, he really got into my mind and just, you know, really helped me tap into the person that I am today. So just him always instilling this, you know, you have to strive for the best. You have to be amazing. You have to be great. There was no other choice. Like, a B wasn't an option.
Oh yeah.
You know, A minus wasn't an option. You always had to get 100%. So
he was shaping minds, getting ready to put you in a position to make some really power moves. That's awesome.
Yeah.
To see that's huge. I can't imagine growing up and then him being, you know, being a psychiatrist, having such a perspective, right? Because that's actually ultimately what we want to try to start to get into momentarily. Just, you know, talking about the peace of mind, right? Mm-hmm. To act upon these things is to do anything. You must first be at peace, you know, within itself, which is such an amazing and powerful thing. So before we get into that, man, we're gonna continue on with the conversation here. Tune into episode 11 of Combined Culture Radio. We're gonna get into some real good topics. We're happy to have Buku in the building, blessing us with her presence. Okay. We're gonna take a break from this. Get into some music real quick, and we'll come back and we'll see you in a second.
Cool.
Cap in a stem, catch a wave on us. Take a shot, make a friend, just enjoy the moment. A blue sky walking on these haters. Celebrate every day like a birthday. When things come to those that wait up. But don't wait to jump in too long. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see I don't attain. What I need for keeps this silly game we play. Now look at this. Madness, the magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. 'Cause day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone, some things will never change. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Hold the phone. The lonely Mr. Solo Dolo. He's on the move, can't seem to shake the shade. Within his dreams, he sees the life he made. The pain is deep. A silent sleeper, you won't hear a peep. The girl he wants don't seem to want him to. It seems the feelings that she had her through. 'Cause day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone, some things will never change. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. Slow-mo. When the tempo slows up and creates that new. He seems alive though he is feeling blue. The sun is shining, man, he's super cool. The lonely nights, they fade away, he slips into his white Nikes. He smokes and then he's on the way. To free his mind and searcher, to free his mind and searcher, to free his mind and searcher. Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night. Day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. He
All right, we're back here on Combined Culture Radio, episode 11 here on Cable 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. Update, Gerald, you said, what's the score, bro? We're Dodgers down 3-1.
Dodgers down 3-1 in the bottom of the
third. I don't know how I feel. I'm okay. We'll have to try to finish it up. I'm
gonna
be
rooms in LA. You're not sweeping. Nothing.
No, we'll see. Hey, I'm gonna get more upset. I'm gonna get more upset about this game than when Buku found out that we showed up to the station today without when we had Chick-fil-A. And she was upset. Yeah. Would you like to give your personal rant to Portland as to why you are so upset about Chick-fil-A? Go ahead. We'll give you some.
I love Chick-fil-A. I'm really passionate about it. I'm actually an advocate for Chick-fil-A. But the thing is, boys, they came. Yeah, they came to Portland knowing that there's no Chick-fil-A in Portland, like the most important city in Oregon. There's a Chick-fil-A.
Eugene in the building. You know,
Skodex.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, I'm maybe I've never Portland. I've never been to Eugene. Eugene's however, there's a Chick-fil-A in Hills. You know,
Clackamas
and Beaverton, and but there's nothing.
Portland, right? Or, you know,
and y'all
what?
Knew, y'all yeah, knew y'all was
not
coming here.
No, what? See, the 205 around 5:30 can be quite like, busy.
No,
okay,
no, I don't
so your food would have been cold, first of all.
Microwave.
The lemonade would have lost its ice. You know, it happens.
Right.
It does, right? It happens.
She pulled up on us outside of the station.
100%.
Okay. We'll do this. Maybe next time we'll meet before.
Just make sure there's no next time.
Okay. All right. The Clackamas ones.
Okay, sis. I see you.
Checking.
Okay. Checking. That's all right. But moving on. What was that track pop? Was that Day and Night?
Day and Night.
Man, that's a classic right there. That was what, 2009, right?
2009. Man on the Moon, the first one.
Man, that was such a big album. I love that song, and we really can relate to it and its meaning. Dwayne, what did it mean for you when that track came out? I know you're a big fan of Kid Cudi, so I wanna ask you.
Not even that track, but Kid Cudi in general, he kinda just speaks to a generation that's kinda like, you know, left out. Kind of like marginalized. It's kind of like that inner kid who doesn't know how to like deal with his own sadness, or is always like stuck in his head. So I definitely feel like Kid Cudi is definitely like good for the younger generation, for whenever you're going through something like that. But don't limit it to like Kid Cudi. Like when it comes down to mental health, like you should always be taking care of yourself regardless, you know, express it. I always feel like being inside of your head is like the worst thing you could possibly do. So
Find
ways to, you know, let that stuff out.
No, yeah, definitely. That's huge. You know, it's something we were talking about and actually getting ready for this week's episode, was talking about literally being in the day and then kind of transferring into the night. Mm-hmm. Kind of joked, Buku, you joked. Yeah. But literally it's getting to that night. And then, you know, kind of just as we transition to this conversation, this topic, you know, of mental health and the importance of, you know, being and having peace within one's mind, you know, it's big, right?
Yeah.
So getting back to that conversation, talking about, you know, what are some of the things that you've noticed, not only just would you say within the youth, but in vast communities in terms of mental illness, you know, is it something, because it's something that I just think as a country we just shy away from,
yeah,
you know, and not understanding the actual importance of it, right, on the day-to-day for just about anything. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're in education, you're in school or whatever it may be, you know, athletics, you know, being right within is tough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard, so, you know.
You know, for me, I think it's, I can speak on my community, I can speak on my culture, which is a Black culture. I think it's something that is a taboo. I think as Black people, we don't like to address inner pain. Inner pain is a sign of weakness. And as Black people, we're supposed to be courageous, we're supposed to be bold, we're supposed to be strong. And as soon as you show any sign of weakness, it's like, bro, like get up, like what are you doing?
Almost get kicked, literally.
Exactly.
No pun intended,
but you know I honestly, I like that, but honestly, like I believe that, you know, we completely disregard a huge component of courage and strength, which is being able to address your weakness, being able to address like, I'm not well, or I'm sad, or I just don't feel like able. That is a huge sign of strength. You know, we think of strength of like in the sense of I can do this every day. Like I can wake up every day with a smile on my face. That's what strength looks like to us. But I don't think we, you know, address the other hand of that, which is being able to just be like, I can't.
It gets to the point where, like, right, we don't recognize that mental health is just as important as physical health is.
Right.
Like,
ultimately, what?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big point, is, you know, like you're talking about of having to fight that feeling of not feeling, you know, as though you're down or vulnerable,
right,
to a situation, because the second you do, you know, especially if we're just being real, especially in a situation, you know, living in a city like Portland, even Oregon, you know, predominantly white state in most instances, you know, it's easy to, if you find yourself shutting down, feeling as though you know, things are crashing down,
right?
You know, it's kind of like a slippery slope of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are these different? But you know, it's such a vast and such a broad term to just say mental illness. So, what are these specific you know, forms of illness that we can, you know, speak to try to give a platform to, especially within youth. You know, especially in the age that we're talking about, our viewers or listeners, depending on all demographics. What are some different?
I would definitely start off with like. Depression. Mm-hmm. Depression comes in different, like many different waves and forms. Like some is way more extreme than others, but the problem is kind of addressing it. I know personally, for me, speaking from experience, it kind of eats you up. It kind of slows you down. You don't really think about it. You kind of just go with it. You kind of deal with it. You kind of just push it to the side because you don't want to feel incompetent. You don't want to burden anybody with your problems, but you're not even burdening yourself with the problems. So the problem is kind of just sitting there looking you in the face. And I just feel like the best way to do it is, like, people have to be comfortable with, like you said, kind of like facing that problem, you know, eye to eye, and kind of just like dealing with it. Because if you leave it bottled up, it's not going to do anything but sit there.
Right.
So, I mean, find an outlet, whether that's painting. I don't know if you like to take pictures. Me personally, I don't play sports. So I know a lot of people like to play basketball when they do it. So I go to the gym, I run, I lift, you know, do stuff to take your mind off it, do stuff to make you feel better.
This guy goes to the gym about 3 times a day. You know, so where you at? I'm leaving the gym. Where you at? I actually just got to the gym. Okay, you want to come over for dinner? Yeah. After I finish this set, I'll be over.
He runs on a treadmill and does a Beyonce routine, actually.
I support it.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta keep your mind going.
No, definitely.
But, definitely, I feel it's something that needs to be talked about more within the community, especially within our youth, because, you know, suicide rates I read recently are like at a higher rate than they have been in the past, and it's just because I feel like people don't have those outlets, you know, people to talk to, people to like listen to their stories, or like just even, you know, be there for them whenever they're feeling down. So I mean, definitely reach out to somebody you feel is, like, you know, kind of down in their dumps, because you never know what somebody else is going through.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's crazy because, Buku, you're talking about how, like, the black community is somewhat not a thing. And I was reading something one time, and they were basically saying that the black community has had so much, we face so much adversity that depression really isn't a thing to us. If you're if you're already in a bad situation, what gets much worse? And what are you guys' opinions on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I think I just, you know, in a situation, you know, when all you see is the reality of what inequality, you know, poverty has caused, you know, throughout America, I mean, it's hard to overcome that, right? You know, for many artists, I know music is a big way that this gets involved, right? So we're talking about Kid Cudi as somebody that used music as his outlet to take the next step to be active and be helpful, I mean, and healthy, right? And using music as an outlet. Therapy, do we mm-hmm. think therapy works? I mean, because, you know, I personally, for me, I have mixed emotions. I haven't had super, I don't want to say not beneficial, but I haven't had eye-opening experiences, you know, sitting down and talking to somebody that doesn't understand, you know, where I've come from or what my day-to-day looks like. It's very hard for me. And I understand, you know, I'm saying somebody that has expertise, you know, in a certain subject.
I think it's going to be different for every person, because for certain people, like, you're going to have different therapeutic things. Certain people, they can talk to a therapist and sit down on a couch and that works for them. But as Dwayne was saying, some people are going to play basketball. You might go take pictures. So depending, you're just going to have to, like, I don't want to say play with it, but that's what it really is. You're just playing with what works for you and trying to figure it out.
I definitely find a song that relates to exactly what you're going through and play it on repeat. And then once you get sick of the song, you'll get sick of whatever you're going through and you'll figure out how to get over it. I'm so serious. That's how I got through my first year of college.
Really?
Literally. You kind of just put on whatever music is making you, like, I don't know if you're going through a heartbreak, put on Marvin's Room. Listen to Marvin's Room until it makes your head hurt. And then you're like, just, you know what? It's not worth it. Whatever. I'm moving on. Next track. You know? Mm-hmm. We'll be fine. That's what's next.
Yeah, it's amazing how music is able to capture, you know, the highest moments of life and the lowest, right? So melodies, you know, harmonies, rhythms, you know, lyrics, all coming together and serving as that kind of glue to it all. Would you say the biggest effect and you know the intent of this mental illness that it takes toll on the youth in the Black community? Would you say it's something that it makes them feel as though we're not worthy, or puts them in a place of doubt? You know, or are there numbers to back this up? You know,
I think that there's, for me, I feel like there's just a lack of spaces where Black people can, you know, go to express that, hey, like, I'm not okay. Like I said in the beginning, it's just like another form of weakness. And I think the reason that they actually believe that there is a higher rate of, you know, mental illness amongst, you know, Black people than any other race, because we are not conditioned to address these type of issues, right? So you have a lot of people just internalizing it, and that's where overthinking comes from. Yeah. Like, I know growing up, I wasn't allowed to be sad. Not only did I grow up with a dad as a psychiatrist, but I grew up in an African household and in a God-fearing household at that. You know, so when I say that I'm sad, they're like, no, it's like the devil. Like, you're not actually sad. So, like, I'm not able to address the way I really feel. And I was talking to, you know, one of my best friends about this the other day, and I'm like, I don't even know if, like, I might have been depressed, but I probably didn't even know it was depression, because I'm not allowed to feel those emotions. I was never allowed. I had my first anxiety attack when I was a senior in college, like my spring semester of a senior in college, and I had no idea what that meant. Mm-hmm. You know, because I, growing up, I wasn't allowed to be sad. I wasn't allowed to be upset for a long time. Like, it was only happy, happy, happy. Even if I didn't feel happy inside, that's how I was conditioned to be.
And that's it can form somewhat of an illusion, right?
Yeah,
that you start to fall into like this daze of some sort, and you're going through the motions.
You're just able to mask it.
Exactly. And you know, it's crazy. If we're just talking about this too on a, you know, a wider scale, you know, large scale, we're speaking on expertise, you know, the experiences that we've all had as, you know, young Black individuals. But this is something that people of all races, of all places, right, that suffer with. You know, we're even looking at a wide scale. It's such an awful thing that happened in Vegas. You know, potentially saying that, you know, the shooter may have suffered from some form of mental illness. Mm-hmm. This is why we have to talk about this.
Yes.
You know, this is why this matters, is that, you know, ultimately we're putting people's lives at stake, as Gerald's saying, is, you know, the mental being just as important as the physical.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, and then ultimately one deteriorates, the other one can't surface.
And we got to realize that there's just more than one form of mental illness, basically.
Right.
So where you have your depression and anxiety, you also have your bipolar disorder, or your OCD.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All these things.
Yeah.
You know, that, and then, you know, you're talking about, you know, the average college student, young adult, you know, even having family, all these things on top of the additional pressure, mm-hmm. of, you know, suffering from a form of an anxiety or, you know, depression can ultimately take a toll on you.
Yeah.
You know, for the worse.
And I, you know, I was talking to my dad a couple of years back, and he's currently writing a research paper and he's had a lot more clients, younger clients, who are suffering with depression and suffering with anxiety. And when he dissects those, you know, disorders, he realized like the root of it all is coming from our phones. Mm. It's coming from technology, the advancement of technology. I was talking to my sister, like, you know, a couple weeks back, and I was like, I love you, sis. And she's 14 years old. And I was like, I love you. And she just double tapped my text. And I caught her, and I was like, sis, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you say I love you back? She was like, I did say I love you. I double tapped your message. And I believe that we are, you know, losing our sense of empathy. We are human beings. We are supposed to interact with people. We're supposed to feel emotions. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen those memes where it's like, when my friend is crying and I don't know how to react, and I just be like, eh,
yeah,
like, I hope you're okay. Like, that's funny, but it's really not funny.
No,
because it's like, when someone is crying, you should be able to interact with them. You should be able to respond correctly. But because we're so used to, like, you know, channeling our emotions via text or via emoji or via, you know, double tap, we don't necessarily know. If I don't know how to respond to you when you're sad via text, how am I going to be able to respond to you in person? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and like, when we think about like innovation, right? Quick tangent, sort of. But like when you think about innovation, people are like, you know, I think that the next wave of innovation is going to come through like, you know, the advancement of technology. I believe, and I've been saying this for a couple of years now, I think that the next wave of innovation is not going to come through the advancement of technology. I think it's going to come through experiences, like teaching us how to be human again. It's the craziest thing. It's kind of like, think about a fish, right?
Like a reverse mechanism in a sense.
Exactly. Right? Okay. Like when you think about like fashion, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
how it
always goes mm-hmm. back. Like when you think back. About, when you think about
Dwayne is a walking 1994 Tommy Hilfiger ad for everybody. That was curious vintage tea. So he knows exactly what you mean.
I just like my oversized denim.
But yeah, because I honestly think that the advancement of technology is also like a link back to depression and anxiety, and that just comes from our lack of empathy.
Definitely. No, that's huge. And I mean, the real question and what's so big that we must talk about here ultimately right now is, you know, how do we change this, right? You know, what steps can slowly be taking? And we're not looking to the government here, we're not looking for help. We're talking about how can we take this upon ourselves, right? You know, mm-hmm. as creatives, as youth, to do these kinds of things. I'm looking at different platforms. I'm looking at an example of Donald Glover, his show Atlanta on FX. He was slowly was able to touch on a lot of minor things that are going on, you know, whether it been from the race standpoint, giving a platform to the True Black Experience, but also there was an episode on there where they highlighted mental illness, right? I don't know if you remember the scene.
Yeah,
from the
I
show.
Remember it. The guy was in prison and he was just reacting very, what we would consider, off the wall. He showed signs of being a manic. So he had bipolar disorder. One second he was okay, and next minute he was throwing some sort of feces on a cop.
Yeah, no, and that was the reaction, right? It was everybody was laughing in the scene, and Donald Glover's intent, and what I really believe it was, is to put a platform, right? Yeah, showcases that this happens,
and they were saying it happened on a weekly basis. This guy was in and out of jail, and Donald Glover goes like, "Wait, why is this so normal to you guys?"
And without his environment changing,
like, why isn't anybody help? Why isn't anyone helping this guy? But you guys see him coming back every week doing the same thing. You should be able to provide something for him.
No, definitely. Yeah, I think that's big too. And I mean, and we're talking about as you know, males too, struggling to have, you know, insecurity issues in terms of masculinity, right? Mm-hmm. Feeling though as, you know, you can't go to your peers, your male peers, and be able to say, you know, hey, I'm not doing okay. You know, I'm struggling. Right. You know, my day to day, and surrounding yourself with the kind of people, you know, I definitely, I think, feel the case in this room that you can do that with at all times, you know, regardless of, you know, stature, situation, whatever the case may be. The therapist on Viceland, that's another one I want to touch on too, real briefly. Have you seen some of those?
I love that show.
Really, really, really powerful outlet that Viceland created, that takes a Dr. Siri Satari, which is a very proclaimed psychiatrist and therapist in the past, and still prevalent today, and basically works with artists.
Yeah.
Mostly hip hop artists. Yeah, Chief Keef, Young M.A. Some of these people that don't have some of the cleanest and cool cut past, right? But finding out why they struggle with these things. And he talked to Joe Budden, and Joe Budden is known for being a hothead, if you remember early on the episode. We talked about why he struggled to with chances in his role in the culture. Part of what Joe Budden was struggling with is his anger, right? And talking about it and channeling it in inner anger. And Dr. Siri Satari was basically asking him, you know, why do you allow them rather to take your peace? You know, like how powerful is it that you could get so within yourself that you allow somebody else to take your peace, take your happiness? And Joe Budden is never short of words, a man of many words, was dumbfounded. And he looked at him, and you know, and it's not that he was shocked, but he had never given that perspective a thought before.
Yeah.
You know, just how powerful that, you know, you could we talk about how we're being robbed and losing ourselves, mm-hmm. but in some cases we give it away.
Right.
Right? Because whether we put it into so many people, or we put it into the world, we put it into, you know, what our day to day is that we lose it of ourselves and we allow other people to rob it of us.
Yeah.
You know, so talk about how important it is that, you know, to maintain that self peace with ultimately within, you know.
I think it starts with, you know, the understanding of what peace is. People think that, some people think that, like, peace means when everything is happy around you, when everything is free-flowing, when everything is working, you know, for your good. That's what peace is. And on the other hand, I believe that peace is being, like, you know, just at center, even when things are going crazy around you, yeah. You know, like being able to just maintain that stillness, that calmness, knowing that, like, okay, there's X, Y, and Z variables that I can't control, but at the end of the day, you can control your actions towards those, you know, situations. You can control the way you react. You can control your emotions. So just, I think, you know, at the end of the day, peace is being able to be still and be centered despite of what's going on around you.
Yeah, and it's okay to not be okay. Like, yeah. If you have stuff going on in your life, that you just address it. Focus on your mental health.
And to, like, finish off what they were saying, to everybody's out there who's going something or, like, may have went through something, from experience, I'm telling you right now, like, everything gets better. You know, it doesn't rain forever. The sun will come back out. You know, you can't let something that's happening today stop you from waking up tomorrow or getting out there and doing it again, you know? So just always keep your head up and just, like, don't run away from it. Deal with it and get through it.
Yeah, yeah, ultimately, all really good perspectives and points, you know. A little story was kind of funny. Me and Joe at breakfast the other day, last weekend with a friend of ours, and we were just talking about, you know, it's kind of how stressful war was, you know, week five, school coming up and everything. And I asked her, and we were just having a conversation, and she's like, yeah, it's just been a rough week. And I'm just like, I feel you. Like, you know, I understand. I can relate to it. And I said, you know, like, I just curious and wanted to know. I said, you know, well, what do you do? You know, I asked her, her name's Caroline. I said, you know, Caroline, what do you do? You know, how do you keep going? How do you moving on? And her response was simple. She said, I just wake up and I just do it again. And I keep going. And, you know, she said it so calm and easy, but it hit me. And it resonated with me is, you know, is that I you know, my truth, my purpose is to wake up tomorrow and keep doing it. You know, keep moving the next day. So
shout out to her.
Yeah, man, please. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely, man. Please. To our listeners, man, we want to emphasize the fact that, you know, everything that we talked about here on today is, you know, important to us, not just as a brand, you know, Khmer culture, but to the KBLU fam, we, you know, we thank you for having this outlet. We want to say most definitely, you know, please don't ever think that your mental health is a burden on others, and, you know, never be afraid to ask for help. You know, we're talking about surrounding yourself in these situations with people that can help you, you know, and ultimately put you in a position to be successful and happy. You know, listen to good music, right? Enjoy good food, you know, enjoy good energy, and that's most definitely most
important.
Find
an outlet.
Yeah. All right, man, that's all love. We want to wrap it up now. I'm so thankful to the people in the room with me, Gerald, Dr. Yep. Trilla, what's the good? Lovely Buku. We thank you for being here with you.
Yeah. We got to have her back.
Yeah, you know, we got to do this again. This is a nice vibe. I like this.
Yeah.
We didn't raise our voice. We didn't fight. You know, sorry to Chick-fil-A. We made it through that. We're okay.
Right.
We got to raise our voice next time if we got Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, right. There we go. Yeah. Well, that concludes another amazing conversation episode here on Combined Culture Radio. That's episode 11. You've been listening to Combined Culture Radio here on KBLU 97.1 Radio. We thank you for joining us. And until next time, keep riding that wave.
Yep.
Cool.
See you walking out that door. Wonder why it took you so long. Ever since the day that I met you, I knew you were the girl of my dreams, but we could never be. Song. We find love, we get up, and we fall down, we give up, we find love, we get up, and we fall down, we you don't love me anymore. Let's see how you light this song.
Oh no, she didn't. Oh yes, I did. Oh no, she didn't. I'll do it again. Leave. only for prettier women. You know I need too much attention for shit like that. You know you want for shit like that. I could be your supermodel if you believe. If you see it in me, see it in me, see it in me. I don't see myself. Why I can't stay long just by myself. Wish I was comfortable just with myself. But I need you, but I need you, but I need you. Ooh, just get a load of them, they got chemistry. All they could say, we like brother and sister. Look so good together. Bet they for real. And it was right. That's why I stayed with you.